this fabulous name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you all can hear me, just type a one so that I can understand that everybody in the room can hear me clearly. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
It's a great privilege and an honor to be here in the midst of you today to share the word. Well, in fact, it's the first time I think I'm sharing the word through ministry room. I believe, I thank Jesus Christ for this wonderful invitation and opportunity that He's given me. And I thank my brothers and sisters that are here and encouraging me to stand before you all. Amen. First of all, I would like to say a few things before we just go into the message. The first thing is, we just had a power cut. We were actually trying to come into the room. Satan really doesn't like me sharing the word, but in fact, straight Satan is a defeated foe.
Amen.
At the end.
Yeah.
And we serve a great and living God. Amen. So let's, for our meditation, let's go into Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 29. The book of Galatians, I'll try to put on the scripture for you. Galatians 3:29. The Bible says in Galatians 3:29, And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and the heirs according to the promise. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come before your throne of grace. Lord, I'm nobody even before you, Father. It's your Spirit alone that's going to take over. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation be acceptable to your sight. I am just your gospel donkey, Father. You are my voice. I thank you for this privilege. Lord, I believe you're going to speak to us, speak to me, and I believe you're going to be a blessing. If I speak, O Lord, nobody can change. If I speak, O Lord, nobody can accept you, Father. Lord, I ask of you alone to speak, Father. I ask of you alone to be magnified. All the glory and honor belongs to Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. Well, these are the words of Paul to the church in Galatians. He says, and if ye be of Christ, then ye are of Abraham's seed, the heirs according to the promise. Well, all over the Bible, all over the Word of God, we've been seeing this name, Abraham. Today, this evening, we had a meeting in India where Brother Bob was preaching on faith, and he was preaching on Abraham's faith. When Brother Bob was preaching on Abraham's faith, the Lord was putting Abraham in my heart. So, the Lord was putting in my heart, and I had a question in my mind. Why is Abraham called the father of the faithful? Why is Abraham called the father of faithful? What is the reason behind Abraham being called the father of faithful? In the Bible, we see in different kinds of situations, Abraham playing a major role, in the sense he's having a prominence of characteristics in the Bible. And also, Paul writes to Galatians saying, and if ye are Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed. So if you're not Christ, then you're not Abraham's seed, therefore it's according to the heirs to the promise. And also, the Bible clearly indicates in many places, if you read in Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, we see a passage there, Luke chapter 16 and verse 22. I'll put that scripture for you just a minute. The Bible there talks about rich man and Lazarus. And this is what the word says. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and he was buried. Well, two things we can see here. The first thing is this: there was a rich man and there was Lazarus. There was a rich man and Lazarus was a beggar before his house. And here also we see. And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Again, Abraham having a priority there. And seeing also in the book of Luke chapter 19, if you read the book of Luke chapter 19, we see in the case of Zacchaeus, the Bible clearly says what happens there. In the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse 9, if you read, it says, today salvation has come into this household. And this day salvation has come to the household, for much as he is also the son of Abraham. That's what the Bible says. Yes. For much as also he is also the son of Abraham. Here you see, when Zacchaeus accepted Jesus Christ into his house, and when Zacchaeus emptied himself, when he came into his life in the point of kenosis, completely emptying himself, when he said, "Lord, thank you for nothing I can do on my own," and he said, "He is also the son of Abraham." Today, we are all the servants of God, saints in the Lord. We are all believing in Jesus Christ. What is the reason did we ever think in Abraham's life, why did God put him so into a great place? What was the reason behind it? Well, everybody can say Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was built on faith, and Abraham was living a faithful life towards God. But here you see, I had a doubt when I was just reading the word, but it's not really a doubt, but the Holy Spirit clarified it to me. Why should, in the Bible, there are lots of prophets. There's from Elijah, Enoch, there are lots of prophets who are well known, Elijah, Elisha, Enoch, and great men of God who did great, great things for the Lord. But why did God choose Abraham to be the father of the faithful? Is because he is faithful, we all can say. But you see, Lazarus is now on the bosom of Abraham. So, Abraham has got a name here as a father, father of the faithful. Who can be a father, first of all? We have one father, one God, one Savior, that is Jesus Christ. Well, who can be a father? Father is someone that needs a characteristics to be called a father. Well, everybody, every mother gives birth to a child, and every child comes out and calls a father a daddy. Well, you call him daddy, I call, and when we were born, we call our father's father. Well, unless and until if our father completely holds a responsibility of what he should, we will never be able to call him a complete father. So here also, God is today calling Abraham a father of the faithful. You see, if you read in the book of Romans 4:3, Abraham is called the most righteous man. And if you read also in James 2:23, Abraham is called the friend of God. So in different scriptures we see the history of Abraham being quoted out like this. So today I want everybody in this room to understand what is the reason behind God not choosing anybody and choosing it. It is because Abraham's life was completely different. You know, Abraham was from a Gentile family. He was Abraham before he became Abraham. So he's the son of Terah, as we know. That's all in history that we don't need to know now. So what is the reason now? The word Abraham represents, or the word Abraham, the meaning of the word Abraham is the father of multitude, or we can call him the spiritual pilgrim. A man that moves from place to place, that does not stand consistent in one place, a man that goes from place to place. So he's called the father of multitude. So this man's life, once God came into his life, and God started speaking to this man, and that we see in Genesis. What is the reason Abraham is a man? What was the reason that Lazarus was able to be on the bosom of Abraham, number one? What is the reason for Abraham to be called righteous, number two? What is the reason for Abraham to be called the father of the faithful, number three? What is the reason for Abraham to be called God's friend? And why was Abraham holding the fatherly post then? These are the reasons that we need to know. Today many of them try working out their life to be someone great. Today everybody in their lives want to become something great. They want recognition wherever they are. If they're in a church, they want recognition. If they're in a meeting, they want recognition. Everywhere people are seeking God, somehow they have to be glorified. So a lot of people are having head weight and head knowledge. We can call it head knowledge full of scripture and lots of the word of God in their heads. But the heart is totally weak, where the heart is completely empty, where the word of God is not really in the heart. So we read in Hebrews 11, faith is nothing but the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. So believing things what are not really there, as it is there, that's what is real faith, we see. So today we see in Abraham's life, He's been holding a key post. Everybody that's coming into Jesus and accepting Him as a personal Savior, and everybody that's receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and is a member of the body of Christ. Now, He's the son of Abraham. That's what the Word says. That's what we can understand from this. What is the reason? Why not you and I be called God's friends? Why not you and I be called the people of faith? Why not you and I be called somebody very spiritual? Well, Jesus said, I am righteous, so ye also be righteous. So God always, the Deuteronomy, the Word of God says, God has made you as a head, not as a tail. But today, what is the reason for 90% of the saints of God going back into drain, or 90% of the saints of God not able to completely be in the presence of the Lord as to how they were called? You understand that is the reason behind it is nothing but, it is just completely the boast, or it's completely pride, working out things on their own self. God, in the beginning, they're coming to the Lord, the Lord's anointing them, they're having faith in God, they're seeing miracles, God is doing wonderful things, and later on, they're trying to work out on their own strength. That's what we see in the life of Saul. Saul, before he called, he belonged to the tribe of Benjamin, and God called Saul, and Samuel was speaking to Saul and saying, Saul, you are chosen to be the king of Israel. Oh, first king of Israel, you see. When God called him, he said, oh no, Samuel, I'm the smallest of all tribes in Israel. I belong to the tribe of Benjamin, and out of this tribe of Benjamin, my house is the smallest. And out of that house, I'm the smallest in my family, and I'm not worthy to be a king of Israel. That's what Saul said. So God took this Saul, because of his humility, God took this Saul because of the way he was in the beginning and took him and put him on the throne. Once when God put this man on the throne, he forgot from where he came from. He forgot from where he came from. He started trying things on his own. This is what is happening to the saints. This is what is happening to the present day believers. This is what is happening in the confusion in the church. Once God is giving you some gift, God is anointing you with something, and you don't know what your gift is, you don't know why God has called you, you don't know your position in the body of Christ, and you completely use your gift thinking that your gift is this, your gift is that, and you use it beyond what you should not. You see? So God has called me to be a prophet. Well, God will speak, and I should speak according to the Lord leads. So I can never, just because I'm a prophet, I can never start a church, and I can never just run, and I can be a pastor as well. A prophet, that's not possible. See, that is according to my call. So same way now, Abraham's life is called the father of faithful. What is the reason? Number one, what is the reason Abraham is called the father of faithful? If you read clearly in the Word, I was just meditating the Word, the Lord's been showing certain things about Abraham's life. Number one, if you read in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4. This is the first characteristic of Abraham that God's called into Abraham's life, or we can say the first reason for Abraham being called as the father of the faithful. We read the word clearly there, it clearly shows, yes, and so Abraham departed as the Lord spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed Haran. So we see this, when he was 75 years old, he was still Abraham, God called him, and this man is quite old, and now God is calling him, and this man, what is happening in Abraham's life is, when God called Abraham, Abraham showed an implicit obedience to God's call. So today, obedience is better than sight, that's what it says, the Word says in 1 Samuel. So Abraham, first, he hid to the call of God, he left home and friends, and hid to the call of God. Abraham, God wanted Abraham to go somewhere, and Abraham was ready. The main thing that is lacking in the servants of God, saints of God, in the body of Christ is because of obedience. Obedience is very important as children of God in the church of Christ, and this in the body of Christ. Today we all try to work out things on our own. What is obedience? Obedience is nothing but doing what the Word says. So what the Word says, in the sense, doing exactly what God's will is, not something out of our will. What is God's will? God's will is nothing but God's Word. How can we know God's will is His word? Or who can show us God's will is His word and we have to follow it? With the normal eyes, if you open the word and if you don't have the spirit, anything, and you just start reading, the Bible seems to be something white to you and the word of God seems to be something blind to you. When you have the help, who is your help? A very pleasant help in the time of trouble. Who is it? David once cries. David sinned against God. He cries and Nathan the prophet comes and says, David, do you know what you have done? And David realizes and says, in right Psalm 51, it says, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. Don't take away the Holy Spirit. Take away my riches. Take away whatever you want. Don't take away my Holy Spirit. What is the reason David was crying for the Spirit of God? Today we need to understand Holy Spirit is the only thing that can show us God's will. If I read with human eyes and with human insight, God's word will not be led. Today so many people coming up with different kinds of doctrines and different kinds of ideas about the word of God. And today so many people are speaking about the word in a different way. And nobody's eyes, their hearts are becoming hardened. It is because the Spirit of God needs to have a dwelling place in the heart of a human being. And if he doesn't have the dwelling place, and if the stuff is in the mind, the mind will lead, you know, the mind will lead to different ways and different places, and he cannot completely focus on why God has called him. That is the reason we need the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, when Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power, and for there is no one need of anybody to teach you, because Holy Spirit is the best teacher. Hallelujah. So today, if you and I need to understand, if we have to do God's will. Abraham in his life is called the father of faithful because Abraham was obedient to the call of God. So today so many times we do things on our own thoughts, do things on our own imaginations, do things whatever it says. And today if I would like to just see the word, and if I am touched by word, I'm going to start a church and I'm going to start teaching in that church and tell this church has this name and that church has that name. Lots of charismaticism is going on today. Lots of people bringing up new doctrines and new followings everywhere. And today the believers are not completely being sensitive to the Spirit. The saints are not completely sensitive to the Spirit. The saints are not completely as a living sacrifice, a complete obedience. You can call it as an implicit obedience. There was once in India, a mother, whatever the mother says, the child used to follow. The child used to completely follow. It's like they got angry with the child. She said, go and jump into the well. So the child ran and really nearly got and jumped into the well. You see, this is what God wants, you know, this is what God wants. Little about that, that's worldly, but in fact when you're coming biblically, this is what God wants. Obedience without turning back. That's what the Bible says. Though you might, you know, give lots of sacrifices, though you might do anything for the Lord, if you don't have obedience to His word, and if you don't listen to His word, you will never able to stand in the presence of the Lord. Pride cannot stand in His presence. If I'm going to design my destiny, if I'm going to design my life, what is the use of God coming into my life? Well, today the only thing that can inform God's will to me is the Holy Spirit. And when I hit to the Holy Spirit leads me in such a way that I obey the call of God. That's what Billy Graham, a man of God, says. Some books inform, some reform, only Bible can transform. There are many books that inform and some reform, only Bible can transform. How can the Bible transform when it is void? It can only transform your life when you read it with your spiritual eyes, when your spiritual mind is open, when your inner man is completely open to the call of God, when your inner man is completely into the sea of God. That's the reason, number one, when God saw Abraham, God did not see Abraham as a general man, because he called him and Abraham didn't say, oh God, you don't know I'm 75 years old and I need to leave this place. No, he didn't say that. He was obedient. The same thing we can see in Philippians 2:10. Christ was obedient unto death. Look at that obedience. What kind of obedience is this? Obedience to any extent. That's the best comparison or that's the best example that we can take. Obedience to any extent. I am what I am. Christ, that's what it is. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but Christ liveth in me. Which shows that anything that I have to do, he should tell, then I do. It's not I do, and then he tells. So this is what Abraham's life, his complete chosen. That's why he's called the righteous. That's what he's called the father of this thing. So are you today, as a man of God or a woman of God, as a saint of God in the body of Christ, are you be able to be in such a place that some Gentile or somebody that does not know the Lord is able to rely on your bosom? Which means, is somebody able to rely on you in such a way, able to mature them? Because so many people today in the body of Christ are not completely matured, still drinking milk. And are you able to be in a place where people get matured through you? See, today God is using Abraham, and in the bosom of Abraham you can see Lazarus. So what is the reason? Because Abraham is a complete man. Abraham is a complete man, a man that is today in the body of Christ. You and I, as humble servants of God, you and I, as children of God, complete surrenderers, if you have implicit obedience, you will do according to the word of God, and you will do according to the will of God, as the will of God is nothing but the word of God, which can be focused and which can come into the limelight through the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This is the first reason Abraham was called the father of the faithful. That is because of his implicit obedience. Hallelujah. Number two, if you read the word of God in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 9. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 9. If you read the word of God there, yes, it says, the scripture is not completely put, I think, just a minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 9. It is not whole land before thee. Separate thyself. I pray thee from thee. And I thou will take left, or I will go right. And if thou depart right hand, I will go left. Number two, in Abraham's life, you can see, here they have come to the land where God is called, and Lot also came with Abraham, you see. Now God again, Abraham is standing there. So what is the reason we are calling Abraham a father? You see this. Now Lot also came with him. Now he's telling Lot. Lot, if you take right, I will take left. If you take left, I will take right. So Abraham is not saying, Lord, I'm going to stay in this particular place. So God has called me, I've come here, I'm going to stay in this particular place. I'm going to occupy it. You go, you get casted out, you be somewhere else, and I'm going to occupy this place. Abraham didn't say that. What did he say? He said, Lord, the Lord has called us to this land, but I give you as a brother in Christ the first preference. If you take left, I take right. If you take right, I take left. Number two, you can see unselfishness in the life of Abraham. Unselfishness. Today, so many people in the body of Christ are completely for their own selfish desires. Which I say again, if I need to be a responsible father, I need to be always a sacrificial father. That's what the Bible says, 3:16, John. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. Love is nothing but a complete sacrifice. Well, you just think, if Lot would have occupied the land of Ur, and if he would have given Sodom and Gomorrah to Abraham, what would happen? See, now Lot is looking all over, and Lot's eyes were not spiritual eyes, you can see. So Abraham knew the calling of God in his life. Abraham was having an implicit obedience. Now, even having an implicit obedience, he knew that he has to take the land, he has to take a nice land, he has to take a place where he'll be comfortable, but he didn't do that. He gave his first preference to his brethren. See, Lot, you take whatever you want, you just have the first place for yourself, then I will occupy whatever is left. Look at that. Are I today living a life of sacrifice in the body of Christ? It is easy to preach, you know, it's easy to preach, easy to say, but practically, am I able to adjust? Am I able to give a chance? Oh, my brother is weak. Brother, I know that you can't sit in this chair. You take this chair because this chair is comfortable for you and this chair is not. So adjusting in everything, this shows the love of Christ. Christ showed his love unto his children. Today, many of them are living for themselves. You know, if I'm fine, it's okay. If my church is fine, it's okay. My people are fine, it's okay. Everything is fine, it's okay. I'm glad, this is glad, that is glad. We are okay. We are eating, we are sleeping, we are having good rest, we are having everything sufficient, happy, be glad. We need to see today, we need to always understand, why has God called us? What is the reason that God called us? See, today we see in Abraham's life, why did God call him the father of faithful? Because he was not only faithful, you know, he was not only just faithful in going with an implicit obedience, he was also faithful in showing the love of sacrifice, which we can say unselfishness. He was never selfish in his life. This is what we can understand. Today, brethren and sister, maybe in a spiritual life, today so many people are weak in their spiritual lives. Today so many people want to come up, but they are spiritually getting down. So if your brother does not know anything, would you mock him? That if your brother does not know anything, leave it, man, who bothers, let me continue. This is what happened in the life of Good Samaritan. Jesus was telling, a man was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was caught in the hands of thieves, and he was looted up and he was beaten. There came a priest, saw this man, and left and went away. And again there came another man, a Levite, and saw him and left and went away. And there came a Good Samaritan and picked him up. Why did Jesus say that? What was the need of the man to take the place in lifting the pastor, lifting the Samaritan? What was the need of that man, a Samaritan? Not normally, Samaritans are the most downtrodden people during those days. They normally are away, you see. So now, this man is taking this man that was fallen. Now a priest came, a priest from a Levite family. You can see, normally priests are selected from the Levite's family. So he didn't bother, he just went away. Today, Christ also did the same thing to the world. You and I were completely in ruin, and you and I were completely in disaster. You and I were completely going into the deepest pits, but God wanted to raise us up. God wanted to bring us up. He sacrificed. Today is your life a sacrifice. Today is your life completely just the word spoken or the word action. Those who speak truth must walk truth. Unless you walk truth, you can never speak truth, because that is what it is. The Holy Spirit will allow you to seek truth, speak truth, and walk truth. This is what we need to understand in the Word of God. When we know we are in the Word of God, we will surely understand that we are not self-living. We are putting out that I from our lives and putting we into our lives. When I have I in my life, I will never prosper. You know, what is the reason of sin coming into a person's life? Sin will always have S-I-N. I represents the ego of a person. I represents I am. I can do. I can do this. I can do that. It is me, myself. I need the glory. I need the honor. I will be happy. I will be satisfied. I will do this. I will do that. When this I is cut off, when an O is put, you become a son of Christ. When this I is cut off and when an O is put, you become a son of Christ. This is what is required. When we become a son, we will surely have the love that the Son had for the world. Today you and I need to live a selfless life. You and I need to, what does it mean? But denying of oneself means living, you know. Brother, you're feeling weak and I'm going to help you. I'm going to tap your back. You're going to become strong. That's what is required in the body of Christ today, which is really lacking. Why Abraham was called the father of faithful is because Abraham lived a selfless life. A life that was pleasing and acceptable to the sight of God. Number three, if you read Genesis chapter 14. Number three, if you read Genesis chapter 14 and verse 14. Yes, Sammy's going to put up the scripture again. And when Abraham heard, you see the word clearly. Lord, please help me, Jesus. In Genesis 14 and 14, the word of God is, yes. And when his brother was taken in captive, and his armed his servants born in his own house, 318, and persuaded them unto Dan, or the tribe of Israel. Hallelujah. See, now you see, Abraham was not only a man with selfless life, he was also a courageous man, you can see. Here, Abraham saw that his brother was taken in a captive. Now Abraham, in his life, now he's doing, defeated the kings, you see, he defeated the kings. He warred with the kings and he defeated them. He's a brave man, you can call him a courageous man. How can we defeat somebody in our spiritual life that is completely against us? Today, so many people in their lives completely want things to be defeated. If I want to defeat someone as a young man, normally what would I think? If I get angry, oh my goodness, if I get a chance, I'm going to beat up that man, you see. Well, I'm bored, that is my physically coming up. When I'm spiritual, I'm not going to use the arm of flesh, because the Bible says, train yourself godly, for physical training has some value, but godly training has value for now and in the days to come. For godly training has value for now and in the days to come. What does it mean? It means we need to be built courageous only by the grace of God. That means we need to be completely only reliant of God and not on our own self. So now Abraham is the most courageous man. Today so many people, when does Satan come and take a place in our lives? Or when does a chance comes for Satan to see somehow to destroy your spiritual life? A chance will come when I show a bit of weakness. Well, you know you're physically not strong. You know that problems are beyond. You know that people are going to stab you down. You know that situations might go stab you down. Your problems might stab you down. No matter what's going to happen, I need to be very courageous, because I need to stand before God. I need to stand with the Lord. You see, Zami, God chose out of so much crowd, out of so many people, about 32,000 of people, God only chose 300 people. See, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. He's completely different what He thinks. See, today when you stand with God, He will surely stand with you. If you today don't stand with God, how can God really stand with you? That's what you need to understand. Be of good cheer. Now, Jesus is going in a boat. And Jesus was sleeping. And there came a heavy storm in the sea. And they're getting scared. They're getting fear. Oh Lord, what are you doing? Our lives are in danger. We're going to die. Today, are you a real disciple of Christ? Are you a disciplined disciple of Christ that can stand courageous at any cost, at any problem that is coming on you, on your way? Are you able to stand today? You're not able to stand. Oh no, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what really is going to happen. My life is in a mess. Today God has called you not to be, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but He has given you a spirit of adoption, a spirit of sonship, a spirit that can, you know, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is given unto you. The dynamite, you can call it the most powerful spirit, the spirit that can overcome anything. If I have Jesus in my life, and if the one within me is greater than the one in the world, that's what Philippians 4:13 says, if you read, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So today many of us are becoming weak in many areas. We are not able to overcome our problems. We are not able to overcome anything on our own. We are not able to really, really feeling upset at times, not realizing God has given you His spirit, which is very strong. Not realizing God has given you a spirit that can break every bondage, the spirit that can chase everything. Well, Jesus had the mind. You know what was the reason? Jesus had the Almighty Spirit of God. He has spirit. You know, Jesus was the mind. He looked at the wind and He said, stop. The wind stopped. He looked at the devil stopped. He looked at the nature and said, nature stop, and the nature stopped. He looked at a disease and said, disease stop, and the disease stopped. And He looked at any problem and He said, stop, and it stopped. Today, your disease do not have authority over you. You are under grace, and you are not under sin, or you are not under law. Jesus Christ has nailed everything to cross and you're set free. You're not under any bondage that you should be. If you're having a spirit of fear, it is not you, but it's the devil working in you. It's not Jesus, it's the devil that's taking over you. You need to be courageous. You need to be well and good and faithful servant. You need to be that can stand still at any storm. If a disease is coming on your way, you're probably... problem is coming on your way, and you're shivering, and you're saying, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? This problem is coming on my way. You're not going to say that. You're going to say, hey, problem, come, let's see who you are. Because you don't have authority over me. You can come, let's face each other. Amen. That is what a true servant of God means. I can tell you of a man of God. He was going to preach in a place, and he has to preach. And it happened that it was a huge convention, and lots of people arrived, and it was a huge convention, and lots of posters and lots of cutouts, this, that were put, and this man had to go and preach in the convention. Just the day he has to go and preach in the convention, suddenly he heard a news. Before going, he had to get his flight, and he has to go there, and suddenly he heard a news that his father died. His son died, his own son died. Think he's a father and his own son died, and now he has to go and preach in a meeting. How do you think he's going to preach in a meeting when his son died? Well, he is a good and a faithful servant. The Bible said, let the dead bury their dead. He had a meeting, he has given a word that he will preach. No matter what happens to his son there, he's met with an accident, he died. He went to the meeting and he preached the word and he came safely. And after that, he buried his son. You look at that, put the kingdom of God first. When you have the kingdom of God first, you shall not fear of anything, because God has not asked you to fear. Fear not, for I am with you. Oh, we quote so many promises at times, but we sometimes become depressed. Sometimes we become, oh God, what's going to happen to my life? This is what is happening. So today, Abraham was not called with an ordinary call, my friend. Abraham was not called with an ordinary call that, you know what I say, God did not choose somebody. God did not choose somebody that has pride, or God did not choose somebody. The Bible says, God chose the weak things of the world to put shame to the strong, and chose the strong things of the world, the wise things of the world, chose the unwise things of the world to put shame to the wise. God chose a fisherman. So, well, he chose you as a weak one, but you know you're no more weak because he has called you as your son. Amen. You have a spirit. You need to be courageous at any situation. You need to be, no matter what happens, you need to be standing to any wind, because though the knife will come to your neck, it will not cut, because it will be broken then and there. Because you have a wall of fire around you, and you have Shekinah on top of you, and you have his presence all over you. Because it is not because you worked out something on your own will. It is because you are under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So to Abraham's life, of the reason of him being called the father of the faithful is of his courageousness. A father that can help his son. I'm going to give an example of that. In the United States of America, we know that there's falls called the Niagara. And between the Niagara Falls, there's a valley, and one side of the mountain, and there's another side of the mountain. Plus, one side of the mountain to the other side of the mountain, because there's no way. So a man put a mountain to the other side of the mountain, and he wanted to make money in his life, and he didn't know what is the way that he can make money in his life. He put a rope, and he started walking on the rope. Anybody started coming on, saw him walking from the walking from one mountain to the other mountain, between which there's a deep valley. Deep valley was there. This man was crossing on the rope, and everybody looked at him and said, what is this man? Has he gone wrong? If he falls down, what would happen to his life when his bones would become powder? He's not going to be alive. Huh. Okay, it went on well. His business went on well. Slowly later on, it happened that he took a little boy on his shoulder. He thought the people, it has become common that people have been seeing him for a long time. Now he wanted to do something new. Now he took a little boy, put him on his back, and started carrying him on the road. And again the people saw. And he said, what's this man gone wrong? He's gone crazy. What's gone wrong with him? He's walking. He was walking. There's no problem. Now look at him taking a little boy on the rope and crossing over it. He's going to die, and even the little boy will die if he falls down. How is he able to walk with that weight on that? See, then, okay, it's okay that that man is walking, but how did this little boy get on his shoulders? And how daring was this little boy? Then later on, this man came down from the one end to the other end. They asked him, they called the little boy and asked, hey little boy, that man is not scared of his life, he wants to die, so he's walking like that on the rope like that, though the valley is there, he's going to die, but how are you able to walk like that? That's what they asked. The boy said, he's none other than my father. Look at that. A father is someone that bears you a burden. When you have Jesus, when Jesus is carrying you on your shoulder, why should you be afraid of? Because under you there might be a valley, under you there might be anything. Before you fall down, Jesus is going to fall down, then only you will fall down. So there's no need for you to worry, because you have somebody holding you. He's holding you with the right hand of righteousness. Amen. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Hallelujah. I need to realize before I fall, and then the Lord is always there holding me. So are you courageous today in the body of Christ? Are you being able to encourage one another? Are you able to encourage one brother or sister, telling them, come on brother, it's let's not give up. We have the Lord before us. Before we fall, you know, the Lord is holding us and He's carrying us. So today Abraham holds the responsibility of a father. His brother is being taken to a captive. Now Abraham is fighting courageously. He didn't get bold. Oh my goodness, if I go and fight, the enemies will kill me and the enemies will put me into trap and I'm going to die. Abraham didn't say that. What did Abraham say? Abraham directly went, took the arm of faith in his life, and just went and fought and won the victory. Brought back his brother. Hallelujah. Today, you and I, what are we able to do? Oh, if this is going to be the problem. We are not going to live with him. Oh my goodness, if I enter into his life, my goodness, I'm not going to face a problem. Let him suffer. Let him die. It's his own problem. It's his own thing. Are you able to lift your brother when he's down? Are you able to say, brother, come on, get on my back? Apostle Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, he's saying, therefore, I look at Christ and walk, so you look at me and walk. Is any Christian today, is any believer today, is any member in the body of Christ today able to say this to your fellow brother? A new Christian or a new believer comes into the church and says, oh, I've come into the church. He's come into the church newly. And he's feeling weak, he's not able to walk. And are you courageously able to say, brother, you don't know how to walk in Jesus, look at me and walk. Are you able to show the Christ, light of Christ in your life, the transfiguration life, light that a person can follow? You probably was able to say that. I have fought a good fight and I finished the race. So are you able to say that? You're not able to say that as a body. Are you able to say, look at us, don't worry, we are standing for you before Jesus. We are doing a warfare for you. We will stand with you at any cost, no problem, no matter what happens, because we serve a living God. Be courageous, brother. Don't go down. Come on, we tap you back. Come on, stay up. Are we able to say that today? Are we able to say to ourselves sometimes when our flesh is working and when our spirit is, and when the flesh and the spirit are fighting, my flesh is weak, but my spirit is strong. Though my flesh becomes weak, by His grace, my spirit becomes new every day. That's what Paul said. Is that what's happening with you? The third reason, Abraham becoming the father of the faithful, or Abraham becoming God's friend, or Abraham becoming the one on whose bosom Lazarus could sleep, is the reason because Abraham is the most courageous man. He was a courageous man. He was a bold man. Though he was 75 years old, he was an old man to the age. In India, normally if you live for 40 to 50 years old, you're the oldest, you can say. Or 60 is the max, you can say. He's the oldest person. Look at that man. He's lived for 75 years old, and that's the time God called him. And now he's fighting a battle. Look at the courage that he has in that age. Who gave him that courage? Who gave him that courage? When you have the Spirit of God, you have liberty. When you have the Spirit of God, you have victory. When you have the Spirit of God, anything that comes as a hindrance is broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because you serve a living God. So number four, what is the reason of Abraham being called the father of faithful? What is the reason of Abraham being called the father of faithful? If you read in the same chapter, Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20, you read the word of God there, it clearly says, yes, I'm just going to quote the quiz, put the scripture for you. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered me from the enemies, and He gave tithes for all. Well, we are living in the time of new covenant. The old covenant is broken. God has taken away the old covenant. He has nailed everything to the cross. according to the old covenant, we had to give tithes in everything, the 10%, or in whatever we do, maybe about 25% in everything we could say, altogether 25% to God. But Jesus Christ, coming into this world, broke the traditions, broke the religious trends that the people followed, and he has nailed everything to the cross. But here you see Abraham's life. What was the reason when Abraham lived in the time of law? Abraham, what was the reason of him being called the father of faith? It's because of his benevolence. We can call it as his goodness, or we can say it as his goodness. Yes, goodness. What is goodness? Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. How can we be good? Goodness, we can call it as Abraham giving his tithes. You see, here is a man whom he is giving to. This man's name is Melchizedek. Melchizedek did not have a father, did not have a mother, did not have a beginning, did not have an end. Normally the priests, according to the old covenant, are selected from the family of Levites. But you see, Melchizedek is not from the family of Levite, but Abraham here is giving tithes to Melchizedek after coming, being grateful to God, and said, God delivered me, delivered thee into the enemies unto thee. Yes, thank you, Jesus. God has delivered me. That's what he's saying. Yes, God has delivered us. So he's giving a tithes. So today, we need, as the children of God, as his children, we need to understand to show goodness. Goodness might be in any way, to anybody, any place, because goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. How can I be good to someone if unless and until they are good to me? This is what is the world's realm today. This is what is the world's idea today. Today, man's ideas in spiritual standard, man's ideas in humanism, man's ideas in anything is all about gain and gain and gain and gain. It's like, I'm going to give you something. What are you going to give me? You see, Nathaniel was the seeker of truth. So Nathaniel was walking by, and Philip is coming to Nathaniel and saying, hey Nathaniel, do you know the Jesus of Nazareth? Do you want to come and meet him? Now Nathaniel is asking, what good cometh from Nazareth? Look at that, humanism. He's saying, he wants, human beings today, before they give their lives to God, or before they give anything to God in their life, first of all they want, what is the profit that they're going to get from what they're going to do? If I give this, what are you going to give in return? Love is not that. Love is not really, really that. So today we need to understand, so many people, before giving their lives to Jesus also, Lord, I will do this for you. Today so many people are changing the calendar of God. Today we need the calendar of God and not our calendar. Today our calendar. Lord, today I'm not able to pray, God. I will give you not today. I will give you my time tomorrow because today I can't do it, Lord. See, we cannot put time to God, and we cannot put conditions to God, and we cannot put limits to God, because we have to obey God and we have to have an implicit obedience towards Him. So today, Abraham here, this man is coming, this man is stranger to him, and he can say, okay, God has given victory. Okay, Melchizedek, thank you for coming. Have a nice day. God bless you. Bye-bye. He didn't say that. See, God has given, so I'm giving it to you. May the Lord bless you, because it is the victory of the Lord, it's not mine. So today, as a church or as a body of Christ, in many places, in many ways, we can give many things as goodness to our fellow brethren. Maybe in spiritual realm, in a standard of helping one another spiritually with fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit, are expecting to develop, you know, always I don't pray, oh Lord, thank you Lord for anointing me to do this. Lord, don't allow that man to become more than me. Don't allow that man to become more intelligent than me. Don't allow that man to come over me, or don't allow that man to preach more than me. This is not going to be the issue. Lord, thank you Lord for the blessing you have given me. Now my brother is going to stand, the Father, you anoint him as you lead. You anoint him. This is what is the goodness. That's what when I was coming, just before coming here, just standing here, Bible study. Come on, Danny, you can do it. I'm praying for you in tongues. God was completely encouraging me. That is what a true disciple needs. When my fellow brethren are doing the service of the Lord, I need to encourage them. That is my goodness I can give them. I can stand before them in prayer. That is what is required today. Are we able to do goodness like that? Or if your fellow brethren is completely declined and he doesn't really have anything, he's physically affected, are you able to bless him physically? Are you able to bless him mentally? Are you able to bless him spiritually according to God's will and according to as the Lord leads? Are you able to do that? Are you still standing, oh man, who can do that? I'm living my life, that's enough, okay? Today I need to realize I need goodness of God. That is very important. When you say about in Isaiah, when he talks about fasting, he says what it is, what it really means in Isaiah 51 or Isaiah 54, 58, the Isaiah 58, the word of God really says about fasting. What is a real fasting? What does it mean killing of your body and staying in presence of the Lord completely or putting a sackcloth over you? This is what it means. Completely surrender yourself, Lord, please. Once his disciples were eating on Sabbath, and his Pharisees came to him and said, oh Jesus, what's happening? Your disciples are sitting and eating, putting all this grain and all over, moving and eating here and there. What's this? He said, once the Son of Man is taken away, they will fast. Until then, they are with me, they will enjoy. That's what Jesus said. Today, it's the time we need to realize what God really means of things. What God really wants to convey to us, what goodness He really means. So we need to understand that. So the fruit of goodness. So Abraham had the fruit of goodness in his life, which is today very much required for a good body of Christ to proceed in a blessed way. Hallelujah. Number five. In Genesis chapter 14 and verse 23. So number 5, what is the reason of Abraham being called the father of the faithful? Number 5, you read the word of God in Genesis 14, 23. Clearly, the Bible says that I will not take from the tread even to a shoelet, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest should say, I have made Abraham rich. Look at this. Abraham in his life, what is the reason he became the father of the faithful is because Abraham lived a life of incorruptibility, refused to receive gifts and service from others. So today, people are coming and giving an offering to Abraham. What is this offering all about? All about riches, gold and silver and everything. Abraham, they're going to give this to you. And Abraham said, refused. He lived an incorruptible life. Today, so many people are giving up their life just because to satisfy others. I'm not standing honest before God. I'm not standing and living a honest life before God. I'm not standing, you know, oh, who knows what this room will think if I say, you know, if you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. If you don't, and if I don't say that, oh no, come on, Jesus loves you. Come on, wake up, be cheerful. God loves you. You do carry on, but God loves you. Well, no matter, I'm not going to compromise for anybody because I know I'm going to refuse something and I'm going to stand honest before God because God is looking over me because the Word of God says in Proverbs 15 and 3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch over the evil and good. The Lord is seeing everywhere. Are you today in what kind of position? Are you living a comfortable life? Are you trying to please someone? Are you trying to, you know what to say, become, you know what to say, somebody is offering you something now. And you're just saying, oh, okay, fine, thank you. You know, onwards I'll do whatever you say, and I'll bend my head to you. Whatever you say, you see, I'm the lamb that is slain. You say, I'll do whatever you want. Today, so many men of God are trying to please the flock and not really giving out the real message. They don't want because they don't want to lose their flock. They don't want to give a message because the message is bitter. They don't want to stand honest because many will leave the church and they don't want the quality but they want the quantity. Today, idea of a church is a mega church and a mini gospel. Church does not need enlightenment but needs entertainment. Church today is completely drowning with all people's good ideas, not God's ideas. So today, as a body of Christ, am I being completely honest before God? Am I being completely living uncorruptible life? Am I refusing something that the evil one is giving me? See, there are so many pastors before called me. Job, what is his name? It's called William Branham. William Branham's ministry once called me and said, "Oh, Pastor Danny, you're such an angry man. If you would work for us, we would at least, you have a big organization, it's a good ministry, we will at least give you $45,000 every month." This is what they called me and told me. So, if I'm in their church, I will go to heaven, and if I'm not in their church, I will not go to heaven. That's what they mean. So they want me somehow to establish that, and they want me somehow to do that. And after a few weeks, Mormons came to me, and they wanted me as a missionary in Mormon. And they said, "You don't worry about anything, you just come with us, and we will take care of your family here." So these are the offers I get. So, that is a time that shows me whether I'm spiritually receptive or not. "Okay, man, who bothers? I don't know. People have been saying there's heaven and there's hell. I don't know. There's nothing like that. People just keep saying that and there's nothing like that. When is one God going to come? Let me live. Come on, let me give up all this and let me live." It is not the spirit. So now Abraham is also getting an opportunity. And now Abraham is saying, "One day you'll come back and tell me, you're giving me all these riches today. Tomorrow you'll come back and tell me, you have made me rich, for I don't need what you give." Hallelujah. "I don't need what you give, because the Lord who feeds the birds of the air does know my needs, and He'll feed me according to His will." Amen. Hallelujah. So today I need to understand, am I able to compromise in my physical things? Am I able to compromise in my spiritual standard? Am I compromising any part of my life without looking to the author and the finisher of my faith? Am I able to stand still as to how God wants me to? This is what I need to realize today. This is what I need to completely open my eyes to. I need to preach the word today. I know that if I sit and just start telling you all cock and bull stories, I just keep and make you sit and start telling you all unwanted things, you will never change. That will not lead you into heaven. That will not lead you into a raptured life. That will not take you out of the womb of the church as a mature Christian and into the rapture. And that will not bring you back into the millennium with Christ ruling and reigning. What are we fighting for? We are not fighting for anything. Are we fighting against carnal things? We are fighting against Satan. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are for the kingdom of God. We are for the expansion of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So we need to understand, as a man of God, as a saint of God, as a sister of God, as a brother of God, as a believer in the body of Christ, I need to understand what my responsibility is. No matter what happens, I'm not going to compromise. No matter what happens, I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stick and stay with an incorruptible life. David says in Psalm 139, "Lord, where shall I flee from thy spirit? Where shall I go from thy presence? Though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Where shall I go from you?" Because David realized in his life, though he tries to do something and compromise, God is always watching him. God's eyes are always on him. So you can never escape from God. You can escape from people. A man is a man when he's alone, because he will know what he's doing when he's alone. Because in front of people, a man acts, some eradicate sin in public and embrace sin in private. So today I need to realize I need to eradicate sin in private as well as in public, because God is watching over me. There's a man who said, "The Bible is a record of man's complete record in sin, and it's also man's complete remedy through Christ." Bible is nothing but man's record of sin and also remedy through Christ. So I think it was said by Charles Spurgeon. Yeah, he's the man who said, the man of God. So today you need to understand the Word of God. When you have the indwelling of the Word of God, when you have led by the Spirit of God, the Word of God always will provoke you. Son, that is wrong, that you shouldn't do that. Son, you're playing up games, this is not a thing. I have called you for a purpose, and you have to fulfill the purpose, and you're not going to play here and there. You need to look unto the author and the finisher of your faith. You need to stand stable for where I've called you. So today many of them are not able to do that. I and you today need to realize that we need to live an incorruptible life, because Abraham became the father of the faithful. Abraham became the friend of Christ. Abraham became a righteous man. Abraham became somebody that anyone can just lie on his bosom, it is because Abraham's incorruptibility. Today, I and you, if you are incorruptible, God will make many people, God will make you as a way so that many people can look into you and walk through Christ. Today, there's no need for me to stand on this mic and preach. If people should just look at my life and say, there's no need for me to carry a Bible and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. I can just stand. People should see Christ through me. Who is a Christian? Christian is not somebody. A Christian is the one who is like Christ and who has Christ in him. Who is just the, we can say, who is just the image of Christ in the world. Hallelujah. So today I need to show Christ to the world. Otherwise my life is useless. So I need to be honest before God, which means an incorruptibility. Abraham became that because of his incorruptibility. Number 6, if you read Genesis chapter 18, the book of Genesis, chapter 18, from verse 23 onwards. I'll quote the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So here we read in the scriptures, in Genesis, if you read up to 33, I think, Genesis chapter 18 up to 23 to 33, the word of God shows us the great word there. It says, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Abraham is now praying before God. So Abraham is telling, therefore, friends, I'm not quoting the scripture because I think it's very big. It's from 18, Genesis chapter 18, and verse 23 to 33. So here Abraham is praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, will you also destroy if there is at least a righteous person? It is at least 100, at least 50. So he was trying to save his brother here. You can see, Abraham was giving a mighty prayer before God. Prayer in spiritual life, prayer in daily life, prayer for everything is very important. So prayer is something we can generally say, if you ask any small child, what is prayer? Prayer is nothing but talking to God. But Abraham did a mighty prayer. You know, the Bible clearly says, if you read the way he started talking to God, until and unless he gets a reply. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, which means don't just stop like that. Continue praying. Pray without ceasing. How can I pray without ceasing when I'm busy with my work? How can I pray without ceasing when I'm completely packed up and compact with many obligations in my life? Well, maybe I can have a solid hour in the morning and a solid hour in the evening. I can start praying to the Lord. But how about praying without ceasing? That's something surprising. David prayed 7 times a day, and Daniel prayed 7 times a day. Opening his windows towards Jerusalem, he prayed, that's what the word says. So today, God here in Abraham's life, to be called the father of the faithful, he's doing a mighty prayer. What is this mighty prayer? Just think about it. What is a mighty prayer? A prayer that completely and surely, without doubt, would get a reply. If I'm going to stand now, I'm going to see that God answers my prayer. If I'm going to talk now, I'm going to see God replies. You can see one man doing that kind of prayer in the wilderness. Who is his name? What's his name? His name is called Jacob. Jacob in the wilderness was asking God to bless him. He's asking God, God, are you going to bless me or not tonight? If you're not going to bless me, I'm not going to leave this place and go. If you're not going to bless me, I'm not going to leave this place and go. So today so many of us pray before God. Today so many of us come before God. Are we able to have the firm foundation in our prayers? I'm sitting before God and I'm going to attain whatever I'm going to pray for. So when Peninnah was teasing Hannah came to the presence of the Lord to pray. She prayed in such a way, the man of God thought, this woman is mad. This woman, something has gone wrong with her. When I pray, I should forget everything. When I pray, I should be completely, it should be a prayer that something I'm going to gain from God. Today I come to the presence of God, I'm not going to go with empty hands. I've come to the church on a Sunday, or on a Monday, or on a Tuesday, whatever it is. I came and I'm going to gain it. I've come to the church, I'm going to get it. I'm going to kneel down and pray in my personal life. I'm going to not going to pray emptily, because if I'm going to pray, I'm going to gain something. I am crazy about Jesus that I'm going to gain anything in my life when I'm going to kneel down or I'm going to pray any up. Because how can I pray without ceasing? Praying without ceasing is, God says, God is a spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in truth and spirit. And the Bible says, he that does not have my spirit is not mine. So how can I worship the Lord in truth and spirit today? Or how can I pray without ceasing? God has given us a wonderful gift of tongues, which you can pray any time and every time. That's what I used to tell my mother every time. Mama, though you're in the kitchen, just speak in tongues and pray. Though you're sweeping or though whatever you're doing, do just prayer. To the housewives, I used to tell. Sisters in the church, I used to tell. Sisters, no matter, don't worry about anything. Wherever you are, if you want to pray without ceasing, just start speaking in tongues. Pray in tongues. As long as you pray in tongues, you see a breakthrough. As long as you pray in tongues, you see a great revelation. As long as you pray in tongues, you see the mysteries of God revealed. Amen. God is a spirit. With our own naked eyes, we can never see Him. We need something called a spiritual eye to see Him. We need something called His will and His precious complete transfiguration to see Him. So we need the Spirit of God to do that. So now Abraham is doing a mighty prayer, a prayer that's getting a reply. They looked unto him, and the Lord, they were lightened, and the face was not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Amen. Hallelujah. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him. Today you and I need to understand. You and I need to completely look to God. You and I need to pray in such a way that God is going to deliver you and me. God is going to deliver you and me. God is going to bring about some deliverance in your life. The walls of Jericho are before, and the Israelites are going, and they want the walls of Jericho to be taken away for them to enter. Today, so many people's lives, there are Jerichos that they're not able to see God. They're not able to pray. So during this prayer of spirit and spiritual warfare, you'll be able to break anything that comes on your way. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and 6, verse 6, do not worry about anything, but in everything, prayer and supplication. And also the Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:7, the Bible says, our God is very near to them that pray. He's very close to them that pray. So today I need to pray spiritually. I need to pray in the spirit to God so that God will completely remove every form of hindrance, every form of trouble, and every form of problem in my life. So now Abraham is praying a mighty prayer. A mighty prayer. At least one more hour. At last he's able to save his brother. You see, that is the prayer you need. That is the prayer you need. You need to be an interceder. If you're a sister, you need to be an interceder. You need, if you're a brother, you need to be a brother that can pray in such a way that you're going to see the mighty of the work of the Lord that's going to happen. You're not going to give up. You're not going to be discouraged, because you know you're not under the arm of flesh, but you're under the mighty authority of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is today going to enlighten that, and that is what God wants in this end days. And number 7, and the final point we can see in Abraham's life, is Hebrews chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Yes, Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 17. If you read the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 11 completely speaks about faith. You see, so Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, you see, there's a beautiful verse that talks about Abraham's faith. Abraham, what is the reason Abraham became the father of the faithful? Or what is the reason Abraham became God's friend? You can clearly see and you can clearly say. You see this, read this verse. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his begotten son. Hallelujah. You can see in Abraham, seventhly in his life, he had wonderful faith. Not an ordinary faith, a wonderful faith. A faith beyond imagination. Faith is divided into two. That's what Bob was preaching today. Faith is divided into two. The faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So Abraham had a faith of substance of things hoped for, and also the faith, evidence of things not seen. So this is what is the faith that talks about. When he was 75 years old, God called him and told him that he's going to give a son. He's going to give a son. And now Abraham had to wait 25 long years. He had waited 25 long years. Every day he grew older and older. Every day his wife's womb became deader and deader. But what happened? What happened? He never lost his faith because God called him. So today, you and I need to stand in faith, because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:8, without faith it's impossible to please God. So how can I receive this faith? How will I get this faith? From where will I get this faith? How can I have this wonderful faith? Well, Bible says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. Hearing the word of God. When I listen to the word of God, I start believing in God. I start trusting in God. I start trusting in my Savior. And not only that, if I just start reading the Bible and just having faith, think, if I don't have the leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life, what would happen? Again, there, I'm not going to see a blessing. So I need the Holy Spirit to encourage my faith. How will my faith be encouraged, or how will my faith be like Abraham's faith? Abraham's faith became a wonderful faith because Abraham was tested. Today, so many people in their life do not want troubles, do not want temptations, do not want any problem to come. They want cool, smooth, and cozy life. The Bible says, if you want to follow me, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. That's what he says. Jesus wants us to have a crucified life, a life in complete submission, a life in complete crucification, a life in complete dependence on God. So I need to understand, and you need to understand, that we are completely need to be having a crucified life. No matter what might happen, no matter how big the wind might be, I need to stand still. During my waitage, or during me facing troubles and problems, if I wait like that in faith, God is going to encourage me. The Holy Spirit is going to encourage my faith. And day by day, whatever the problems might come, I will be an experienced Christian. I will become stronger and stronger, not weaker and weaker by the waves or by the winds or by the flesh. So today I need to understand, what is the reason Abraham is called the father? So I need to believe God blindly, blind faith. You can say, so many times you believe people. When you believe people, they ditch you completely, they drown you. So there comes a man and he tells, oh, I'm there for you. There's so many people in India, you see, especially. 90% you see lots of widows in the area where we live. And it's like, these widows normally don't have husbands. And it's very saddening to understand, if a girl is matured into the age of 13, and the mother is giving birth to 4 girls, and they're trying somehow to get a daughter. According to Indian custom, if a daughter is born in a family, the daughter should give dowry to the man she marries. In the sense, she has to give money to get married to a man, unless and until she cannot get married. So what the mothers do, they leave the girls like that. And somebody in between comes into the family, like Satan, and tells, I'm going to take care of your family and your 2 daughters, and I'm going to stay in this place. So this woman puts all her confidence and all her trust and all her faith on this man. And what happens is, he completely ruins that woman's life, and he completely ruins this daughter's life, and he completely uses them like slaves, and he sells them to the brothels. And at last he says, and he goes, is that what faith means? Is that what trust on God, trust on people means? So this is what we need to understand. It's better to put trust in God than to put your confidence in man. It is best to some trust and boast in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of our Lord our God. How sad are the conditions today. So today many people are trusting on man, and nobody is really leading you to destination. Somebody comes into your life and tells, I'm going to take care of your life. And in between they're going to leave you like an orphan. What is going to be your life? Today so many people are living disastrous life like that here in India, the place where we live. But God is upholding them in the ministry. There's so many people, you know, HIV positive, suffering with HIV positive. And they can never even lift their faces in the church and tell people, you know, can you pray for me? But they come, Pastor, I don't know what to say. My blood is changed, can you pray for me? That's all they ask. Friends, we need to understand, our faith should be completely on God. And if I'm going to have a faith, the faith is going to, you know, it's going to be something, you know, impossible, it's going to become possible. That is what was my desire. I'm hoping for something that's going to happen, and I'm desiring in my heart this will surely happen, and that should surely happen. This is what should be your plan today in God. Abraham became the father of faithful. He didn't become by accident. Today God called Abraham as a friend. Today God called Abraham as someone that Lazarus lied on his bosom. God said, Abraham, as a father, you know, today salvation has come into your house, and today you are also the son of Abraham. Why did God say, why did God give that much prominence to Abraham? It is because of Abraham's character. Are you today living that kind of life as a saint in God? Are you today living a life that is pleasing to the sight of God? Are you today living in such a way that God can see you and say, oh, this is my faithful son. I can put some burden on him. I know that the son is surely responsible. I know that any kind of burden I put on him, my son can carry it on. I know that any kind of food, I can trust my son. So look at that. Is God able to trust you today? Is God able to put any burden on you today? Is God able to put something on your shoulders, thinking that my son is going to do it and is capable of it? Is God choosing you like that? What is the reason God is not able to do? Because you're not in such a way that God wants you to be. You're not available to God in such a way that He can use you. So you need to understand, my friends, God is today calling Abraham the father of the multitude, or a spiritual pilgrimage. The meaning of the word Abraham means. So he's called the father of faithful. What is the reason he's called as faithful? Number one, Abraham was obedient. That means he left his house, he left everything for the call of God. Number two, Abraham was living a life of unselfishness, gave the first choice to Lot, and he was selfless. Number three, he was courageous, which means he defeated the kings and stood and helped his brother from the captive. Number four, he had benevolence, which means it's goodness. He gave tithes to Melchizedek. He did good where he has to do good. He had the fruit of goodness. Number five, he lived an uncorruptible life. He never compromised when it came to spiritual standard. He never compromised. He was honest to his spirit. He was honest to God. He was honest completely. Number six, Abraham was a mighty prayer warrior. He prayed until he received some word from God. He prayed in such a way that he will surely attain what he is seeking for, what he is asking for according to the will of God. So number seven, Abraham was a man with wonderful faith. It is because Abraham had the faith that Paul was speaking in Hebrews chapter 1, substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. That great faith. He went into extent of giving his own son, believing, you know what to say. In what case? God has given a son and now God is asking back. He was ready to give because Abraham knows he has faith in the promises of God. Today, are you having the faith in the promises of God? Are you able to receive according to the word? Are you able to be blessed by the word of God? Are you able to live a life that God wants you to live? Are you able to live up to that mark that God finds that you are available and God finds that I can put some responsibility on my son? Are you able to be in such a way? What is your position today? Dear friends in Christ, we are God's children. We are God's children. We shouldn't always be, in order to say, limited, because our God is not a limited God. We serve a God who is unlimited and who is infinite. We should always grow up and grow up and grow up and grow up and allow our brothers to bring up. So we should never be a downtrodden people, or we should never be putting down somebody and discouraging somebody. Today there are so many people like this, I can example tell you. Once a man was carrying crabs in a ship. When he was carrying crabs in a ship, he put crabs from all over the countries. He put crabs from the US, he put crabs from the Australia, he put crabs in all kinds of big, big pans, and he tied those crabs so that the crabs would not come out. And there was only one pan which the lip was not put, you see. On one pan the lip was not put. And this man asked, oh, what's this? This alone did not have a lip. Don't you think the crabs will come out? He said, no, these crabs will not come out. You know why? These are Indian crabs. If one crab tries to come up, the other crab pulls its leg down, so it will fall down. So today, God's children are like that. If one brother wants to grow up in Christ, other brother is pulling his leg down, so that he might fall down. So you should not be like that. Join hands together. Let us work together. Let us see how good and pleasant it is to see when brethren stay in unity. And let's join hands together and work and strive for the expansion of the kingdom of God, as the kingdom of God is at hand. And behold, we need to be completely prepared for what God is going to put on your heart, on what burden God is going to give you. Today, Abraham is called the father of faithful. Abraham is called as God's friend. Abraham has so many privileges in the world. Are you having the privilege? Is the promises only for Abraham, or the promises even for you? If it's for you today, seek my friend God. Seek God in wherever you are, whatever position you are right now. God's going to touch you, and God's going to completely lead you according to His Spirit. And now we have Brother Bob, and he will lead us in prayer.
You finish it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the living God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to Jesus. What a wonderful message. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for that great encouragement, that exhortation. Thank you, Father. I just ask in Jesus' name that that word would truly find its place in all our hearts, Father. That we would truly be like, as it were, Father Abraham, Lord. That we would find that courage, that faithfulness. That we would walk and follow in the steps of Abraham, faithful Abraham. But thank you, Lord, that you dwell within us. And you will work within us both to will and to do for your good pleasure. I pray a blessing and preservation upon each one of us, the blood of Jesus covering each one of us till we meet again. In Jesus' name. Amen.